This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries. Chapter 40. The Mystery of the Indwelling Christ. The Shadow of His Wings. Scriptures. A Prayer of David. Hear the right, O Lord, and attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, and let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me, and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Wilt, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, my footsteps, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about, they are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes, bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men, which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Psalm 17, verses 1 to 15. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 16. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Hebrews 11:32-40. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Colossians 1, verses 16 to 23. The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue, is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand join in hand. He shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Proverbs 16:1-6. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6, verses 9 to 18. Vision. And scriptures. Vision. Then in the night season saw I the Lord Jesus Christ coming apart alone unto the Father, climbing the mountain, and setting himself aside, he called alone upon the name of the Father, and set himself apart in the night to seek the Father and to abide under the shadow of his wings. By this Jesus committed the keeping of his soul unto the Father, and did not allow his life to be out from under the shadow of the Father's wings for even a moment. It was there, while alone with Father, that Christ knew of the will of his Father and the ministry he was to do, including the cross. It was there, in that solitude, that he was set aside for the greater thing, even to become the Savior of the entire world. Jesus was only strengthened by being alone with the Father. From there, he did branch out in his ministry and did set his feet into the path that he was made strong in, not just to be, but to do the will of the Father. Jesus is the pattern son. This solitude with the Father is necessary for all of those who would follow after. End vision. Once during this past week, while in the Spirit, I beheld the army of the Lord. This army was surrounding the Christ in his heavenly vision and had set themselves in battle array, a great host that was innumerable, riding upon chariots with white horses, golden armor of the Spirit covering them. It was a vision of a heavenly host in present time. This vision of the army was one of the army as it is now, in present time, in this present hour, not a vision of the army that is yet to be. There is an army which will rise at the coming of the Lord, which will encompass even this army that is currently in the heavenly realm. And beholding this army surrounding the captain and host of the saints in glory, those who are on the other side of the veil of this earth, I was bidden to turn my head and look to the left. As I did, I saw another army. This was a much different army than the one I had just seen in the realm of heaven. This army was the army made up of fallen angels, demonic powers, principalities that rule over cities and nations, and over geographical locations of the earth, and of the atmosphere above the earth. A host of evil power that was arrayed in great battle dress, disguised as light, and very much in the order of the host of wickedness, that spirit that dwells in high places, which opposes the things of the Lord. This army was set in such a way as to disguise themselves in the natural camouflage of the world, that being that they work without the tumult of noise, but in subtlety they attach themselves to the carnal influence of man, and by that work great delusions. This army was also in present time, a host of darkness that is not to be, but is. A great host of those who would imitate anything in creation as a manifest display of truth, when in fact they are wickedly working realms of delusion and deception in the world of men. Now this other wicked army was not able to overcome the hosts of heaven, the army by which the Lord did work forth his mighty purposes in the earth. Yet I knew that it was the Lord who had set this evil army in its place for his purpose. By that I mean that the captain of the Lord's army in heaven is able to use the wrath and the power of the evil army for his own purposes. The Lord uses this army to work a work in the lives of men, even though the army of alien powers and those fallen spirits of wickedness which fill the atmosphere of the earth are not able to immediately perceive. For the Lord takes this army in their craftiness, and by the power of his word, through his person, he is able to use these negative powers to create his perfect will upon a human vessel or nation. It is amazing that the Lord does this, for he is able to cause that all that is evil to work into good without the evil knowing it is happening. By the Lord, then, does this army of evil exist. If the Lord did not wish for it to exist, it would not exist. But the Lord uses all that is in his creation to work his perfect plan. Even the wasting horde of darkness does the Lord use to convict and to commence his ultimate purposes. In our time, we have come to the culmination of all previous ages. We are at the time when the world is being divided into two parts. There is a big, huge part and a small, very insignificant, almost imperceptible part. The imperceptible part is so small that it is a minute speck of sand compared to the rest of the world. Yet it is a divided, dual world. There is the world with all nations and all religions of man, all of the politics of man, all of the governments of man, the entire world in its full size and scope of the life and power of man. The negative evil army has itself fully ingrained into this part of the world. It is there, rending man into all sorts of dilemmas and conditions which make men lawless and careless. This world is either extreme need or extreme futility. It is a world where some are extremely wealthy and others are extremely poor. In all of this, the Lord is over all, but the evil army does all it can do to oppose that rule. Working great iniquity, the evil army imitates the Lord and his saints and true science, and causes all that men can see or do to become engrossed in absolute delusion. The other part of the divided world is the part which is whittled down. It is the part of humanity who has heard the clarion call to sonship and has set themselves apart to seek the Lord and to live in abandonment to the Lord. This is that small speck of sand-sized group of people that have come from every family and every city and every nation, one here, one there. They have all come apart unto the Lord alone, and they at this present time are allowing the Lord to judge them in every part of their beings. They are not holding to dissuasion under the evil army. These are committed truly to the true army, the army which has Jesus as their one and only commander. This is the gathering of people who will be the full tallied army of the Lord. That company which will engulf the heavenly host as it is now, and which will march forward in glorified bodies to set this creation free of death and the power of the evil army. However, right now, this earthly small speck of sand group of people is under horrendous judgment and attack, both at the same time. Those of us who are part of this future manifestation as the true army of the Lord are being scourged in more ways than one. First of all, They are under present and true judgment from the Lord Himself. He is moving in their midst, judging them in every area, boiling to the surface in them everything that is tainted with the fallen life of this iniquitous world. As they are being judged, the Lord is arranging circumstances for them to be separated from all other men in such a way as to look ever so strange to others. They are in the world of men, seen by men, known by men, working with other men, but they are, oh, so strange. These do not fit the bill of anything that the world would say is normal. Instead, these find themselves being poked and prodded in every part of their soul, that emotional part of their being, until their soul parts from instability and they learn to trust the Lord alone. No one in the world around them understands these who are being singled out and judged by the Lord. No one can perceive how they are walking nor understanding what they are saying or doing. These who are under the judgment of the Lord are being disdained by family members, even very close family members. They are being held in repulsion by the majority of those who see them. So there they are, the small, insignificant group of people, each one separate from the other, all under the gaze of their fellow man, and more than that, under the gaze of he whose eyes are as a flame of fire. Singled out, they have no escape. Now bring to this the power of the evil army. Which army, as I said earlier, exists because the Lord wants it to exist? This army now has full permission from the Lord to work in the carnal minds of men everywhere and to work in the latent power of the flesh of man and to work in the latent power of the flesh of those who are of the small, insignificant speck of sand group, all to cause to rise up a great attack. The overcomer, who is under the judgment of the Lord, is now first under horrible attack from their own carnality and their own flesh. Allow me to say that again. The overcomer, who is under the judgment of the Lord, is now first under horrible attack from their own carnality and their own flesh. They have within themselves a tremendous struggle of duality, which wars against their desire to be pleasing to the Lord in all things. And I'm going to read those two sentences again together. The overcomer, who is under the judgment of the Lord, is now first under horrible attack from their own carnality and their own flesh. They have within themselves a tremendous struggle of duality, which wars against their desire to be pleasing to the Lord in all things. Their own carnal flesh drags them off into convenient sins and iniquities so quickly and easily as to amaze their hearts as to their condition. Couple with this the anger and the wrath of those who see these set apart, those who work with them and live with them in the world of men, and you have one huge attack upon the sole desire of the overcomer to be perfect before the Lord. So now you have the army of evil empowering carnality, both within and without, to attack and to maim, and you have the Lord on the other side pouring forth his judgments. In the mystery of the indwelling Christ, this is happening right now in present time. And yet, he is there. The Lord Jesus abides in you. He is there saving you, delivering you, keeping you. The judgments can only fall upon that part of your life which Jesus will not save. That part of your life which Jesus must destroy. The gentle Savior has risen to destroy your flesh, and he is doing this by any means at his disposal, including your own carnality and flesh caving in upon itself. The carnality and flesh found in the world of men and the power that is from the army of evil. The overcomer in this condition has no hope of saving their own flesh alive. And that is exactly what the Heavenly Father wants. I'll say it again. The overcomer in this condition has no hope of saving their own flesh alive. And that is exactly what the Heavenly Father wants. The Lord is allowing you to be attacked in every way possible. Everything is under this attack that relates to your life, dear reader of these pages. Your finances, your health, your hope, your dreams, your relations, everything is subject to this judgment and this attack from all sides at once. In the midst of this is the overcomer, trusting only in the Lord alone to deliver them and to separate in them flesh from spirit. So now we turn from this to find what the Lord requires of us. What do we do in such a condition? As we are hounded daily from the oppressions of this world, what is it that the Lord wants from us so that we can be found perfect and entire in him at his coming? Simply put, the Lord invites us to rise higher and to come and abide under the shadow of his wings. Think of the Lord's wings as the shadow or covering of his protection. Out from all the raging torrents of the attack of the army of the aliens, of the carnal thoughts of your own mind, or the raging thoughts of the minds of men, out from all of this, the Lord invites you to ascend in your flesh and to abide under his wings, being covered there and kept safe while this judgment passes. Practically speaking, how do you do this rising, this abiding, this being covered by his wings? We know not how to ascend any more than we know how to hide under his shadow. So how then do we do this task of coming into this place of safety? We do this by casting ourselves completely on the Lord daily, throwing yourself totally down before him in total abandonment to his will, completely set apart unto his gaze and his sole purpose. Nothing anymore has priority, only this abandonment to the Lord. Again, nothing anymore has priority, only this abandonment to the Lord. You no more think on providing for yourself in the realm of finance, or think of your state in the world of men as it is being shaken apart. You do not preserve your life in any way, nor take any comfort in the things of this world. Instead, you set yourself apart daily, one day at a time, unto the Lord alone, rising in faith to rest in him while all around you is shaken and judged, your own life included. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is in you, this judgment you are under will have a successful conclusion. Again, because the Lord Jesus Christ is in you, this judgment you are under will have a successful conclusion. A footnote. This is called the mystery of the indwelling Christ. Again, because the Lord Jesus Christ is in you, there's the mystery of the indwelling Christ. this judgment you are under will have a successful conclusion. In fact, when the Lord is done, the whole world will have a successful conclusion. Isn't that amazing? In fact, when the Lord is done, the whole world will have a successful conclusion. No one will be left in an unsuccessful condition. I repeat, no one will be left in an unsuccessful condition. Even the army of alien demonic spirits will eventually have a successful conclusion. It is Jesus Christ within that is the assurance of this success. Because he is in the overcomers, they will rise successfully first. Their entire lives will be complete in the Father, and there will be no place in them for this judgment to any more fall. No ground will be left in them that caused this judgment and anger of men and the judgment of the Lord to happen. The overcomers will arrive first and foremost as those who earn the right to rule and reign with the Lord. Again, the overcomers will arrive first and foremost as those who earn the right to rule and reign with the Lord. After this, the rest of humanity will come under this judgment, and the rest of the world, which is in opposition to the Lord, will no longer oppose the Lord. And the negative army, that evil army, will have no place in humanity to work its negativity. That army also will come under this judgment. What a glorious hope, all because of the power of the indwelling Christ, even in a mystery. So know this. You, dear reader, are singled out first. Upon you has come this judgment first. But yours is different in that the Lord is preparing you to be a ruler over the rest of his creation. This rule will be first and foremost over all the nations, then over all the powers of the air, and over all the spirits of wickedness in high places. It is in the air that those of the first resurrection will be caught up. In the air that those of the first resurrection will be caught up. And it is in that same air that the power of the enemy will be bound and his works cast down. This is the right and the place of those who first endured this judgment. So rest, dear reader of this page. You can know full well that you are being judged for the sole purpose of having your flesh removed from you, so that nothing of your life in this world will remain apart from the Lord, but instead will be brought successfully into subjection to the Lord. What a glorious promise and a glorious day. When you next face your negative situation, remember, it is only your flesh that is dying. The rest of you is being preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.